yesterday, I think some of you, or maybe the day before, some of you seen some pictures of the new little grandson that we have. And one of them in particular really inspired me. The one that little Matthew's very, very small hand is holding on to Rodney's finger. So some of you, have y'all all seen that? Some of you? I'll share it with you after service. So, of course, Rodney has hands kind of like mine, but pretty big hands, and he's got his hand down there, and the little guy's has got a hold of Rodney's finger. And Rodney made some comment when he shared us the picture with us that his hand was getting kind of numb holding it down there, you know, being in a fixed position because he was holding on. But I just, you know, it's a new venture for him to be father. This is their first child, and so I just had to look at this little boy holding on to Daddy's hand. And I know I've tried many times to convey the concept that God is a heavenly father to us. And I'd like to try to visit that this morning and try to somehow give us something that gives us reassurance, gives us stability, and gives us something in our lives that would help us face whatever life presents us. There's something about a small child holding on to Daddy's hand that is a picture of security. It's a picture of strength. It's a picture of stability. And there's a song that a woman wrote for her father on Father's Day. And I don't know today if these words came to her mind and she sang them to him or not, but she came to record that, and it became a very popular song. It went right to the top of the charts in the music industry. And the title of the song was Daddy's Hands. It says, I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer and reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. There are things I'd forgotten that I loved about the man, but I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again and never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. So, If you haven't had those kind of memories, I know it's really hard to grasp what it means to have a Father in heaven. And I know if you haven't had that kind of reality in your life, I know that it's tough to know what normal is. But I want to tell you, this is the right way. It's the right way for Daddy's hands to be soft and gentle and understanding, and yet as hard as steel when you've done something wrong. That's normal, and that's the way it ought to be. So many times when people come to try to know the Lord, they have a out of balance perspective of what it means to have a Heavenly Father. I'd like to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and notice something that I believe is an opportunity for every person that ever walks the face of the earth. It says in Romans chapter 8, he's talking about maybe in verse 1, we'll begin just a little bit here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he's talking about the opportunity there is to know the Lord. And if we read down through here, we come to verse 12, and he's speaking to those that have a testimony and a profession of salvation. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. There's no obligation for you to continue in fleshly appetites and sinful behaviors. This is verse 12, chapter 8. But he says, we don't have any obligation for that. We're no debtors to that. He says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If we will be willing to come to the place that we count our fleshly appetites, those things that would lead us astray and lead us away from God, if we will crucify them and put them to death, that's what he's talking about. When he's talking about mortify the deeds of the body, we'll live. We'll have spiritual life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And here comes this concept of God being our Father. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there's an opportunity, no matter where we come from in life, no matter what our background is, and whether we've had a real example of a Father in our life or not, we can know God, and we can know Him as a Heavenly Father. We can know His hand. And I wrote the phrase of the two words, Daddy hands. Not Daddy's hands, but Daddy hands. And I want us to think of how important it is to get a concept of what it means to have a daddy hand. A daddy hand is one that has the best interest in mind for the child. Not that I'm trying to be their best friend, although ultimately I believe that is something that happens. But my objective as a father is to be a daddy to them and to give them direction to bring them to their greatest potential. None of mine were all the same. But my objective has been to bring them to their greatest potential if I can. I'm just talking about as a literal father. And God has that about us. He wants to bring us to our greatest potential. He's not trying to make necessarily uniform little robots out of all of us. We're exactly the same. If you notice, when we're singing the songs, we'd all sing the same part. It's better when we sing different parts, isn't it? It's better when we have four-part harmony. It's better when we have a different one singing the different parts of the melody. There's more beauty to that than everybody just singing the same note. And God doesn't necessarily try to make us all into this exactly same form. We wouldn't all fit. The one that would fit me wouldn't fit you. Literally. If they took a plaster of Paris mold of me and then they tried to squish some of you others in there, some of you'd have room to wiggle around and maybe some of you wouldn't. But it would just be, he's not trying to make a plaster Paris duplicate of us physically or even how we can admit. He wants the best for you. That's what a daddy hand does. Notice the words of that song. She said that one phrase there was, "Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong." All the same hand. God's no different. We're going to feel the hand of God in our life, both strengthening and encouraging and strength and stabilizing, and also the hand of, "This was the line and you crossed it. You can't go there and have my approval. You can't go beyond this. This is where it stopped right here." He loves us. He has only thoughts of good about us and towards us. You know, just as God has been accused of many things erroneously, good earthly fathers get accused of things too. Many have said they didn't feel like God loved them anymore. I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. That's a daddy hand speaking. If you feel like God don't love you, then I'm just going to tell you real bluntly, you're wrong. God does love you. If he's been accused of not appreciating your efforts, he probably realizes you can do more. You might say that, you know, he's neglected you. I doubt it. In fact, I know he has it. I know that God doesn't neglect us. And you may say you feel punished. You know, I've used some techniques that were just momentarily inspirations to me as being a child. And, you know, I had four boys. Y'all all know that. Most of you do. And there were times that they felt like they were getting the short end of the stick. One of them did. And I had to do some things that caused them to be jolted back into reality that I loved them all. But right now, this is what I was requiring out of them specifically. And that's the way God does. We want to look around. He tells us that comparing ourselves among ourselves isn't wise, and yet we still do it. We look around and we say, "Well, Lord, why are those people more blessed than I am?" And that's probably not the case at all. It just means that somehow we haven't cooperated with what he's trying to bring us to. Remember, a daddy hand knows what's best for us. And God wants to bring us to our greatest potential. Every one of us here. And He'll take us wherever we are in our stage of life. He'll take the little children that'll submit themselves to Him and seek Him as a small child and feel the conviction for being disobedient to the parent. And He'll take the criminal that's been in prison and the one that's done heinous things. He'll take those two right where they're at. And He'll start turning their lives around. And we wouldn't have to go very far, and we could probably name names today of people that we know that has come from both spectrums. I can. I know people that's been incarcerated, and God got a hold of them while they were there and turned them around. And today, they're a brother in Christ. And I know people that before they had two digits in their age, they yielded to the Lord, and the Lord was able to lead them by the hand. They were like that small infant, just hours old, holding on to daddy's finger. God takes us all, and He wants to work the best for all of us. And I want us to get the picture in our mind of what it means for God to use a daddy hand on us. A hand that reaches out to help, to guide, to protect, and yet to instruct and to encourage and to challenge and to set a goals and objectives and to cause us to grow and get out of our little rut. I knew a man, I think he may have been passed away now, seemed like I heard this, but he wasn't a lot older than me, but I remember when he was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ahead of me in school, and when we would get off of the bus coming home from school, and his parents had a grocery store in the small town that I grew up in, and somehow he got there before I did, and when I would come by, walking by the front of this little small town grocery, he would be sitting out there eating a candy bar and drinking a pop. And I just thought that I didn't get that at my house, and I thought he had it really, really good. But you know, it wasn't long after he graduated, he was 20-something, and he ended up with a full set of false teeth. It's a true story. I just know his teeth got so rotten that he ended up with false teeth in his 20s. It may have been something else besides the pop and the candy bars, but I've always had to think about that. You know, my parents had some, not that we didn't get anything sweet, but I didn't get pop and candy bars every day. You know, there was some guidance there. And God has some guidance for us. I'd like for us to turn now to Psalms 103. And as we're going there, I'd just like to bring it back to our mind that if you're being a father after the similitude that God has been a father and is a father to mankind, more than likely you're going to be falsely accused. By your children, by your spouse, by your in-laws, by maybe even other people. And they might all accuse you at the same time. I've experienced it, and I made it through there. But I had an objective, and God has an objective for all of us. So I'd like to turn to Psalms 103. We'll begin reading in the first verse. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame, but remembereth that we are but dust. The Lord, all of this that I read up to this verse, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He is willing and determined, and he purposes to not hold a grudge against us. That's what a father does. You know, my children did some things that really disappointed me. And they really caused me to have, I've had to fix a lot of broken stuff. In fact, I have quite an inventory of things like shovels and hammers and pitchforks and stuff like that with broken hands. I still got them. I haven't fixed them all yet. But it seemed like every time I turned around, something was broke. And you know, God does, I haven't held it against the boys. Sometimes they come out and they see something's missing and they'll replace it because they know they might have broke it. I don't know. But God doesn't hold that against us. He separates our transgressions in the past. He keeps them in the past. You know, it's hard to build a relationship with someone that constantly brings up an offense from the past. But it's not near as hard to build a relationship with someone that's willing to forgive and forget. And God's willing, that's part of daddy's hand. That's part of having a daddy hand, is being willing to forgive and forget and go forward. He says he removes as far as the east is from the west, as far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So I'd like to read to you a few comments from a Bible commentator. He says, this is a very emphatic verse and may be thus translated. As the tender compassions of a father toward his children, so the tender compassions of Jehovah toward them that fear him. Sometimes I feel like this part of being a dad or being a father is all that people get a hold of. Daddy's the one that fixes everything. He fixes all of my problems. I just bring my troubles to Dad and he's able to resolve. Yes, God can do that. But I don't want us to become fixated on that to the point that we can't accept the rest of him being our father. But it is very real, and this is very emphatic, that God pitieth us just like a father pitieth his children. He says nothing can place the tenderness and concern of God for his creatures in a stronger light than this. What yearnings of bowels or from the inner part does a father feel toward the disobedient child, covered with confusion and melted with tears, with, and this is a child speaking, it's quoting from Jesus' story in the New Testament. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee and am not worthy to be called thy son. What kind of father can would want to resist a child's humility in that. You know, usually daddy's hand has to deal with, no, I didn't do that, not me. But when the child comes and says, Daddy, I'm so sorry, I was using the tractor and I spilt the gas on it and it caught on fire. I'm sorry I burnt the tractor to the ground. And, you know, all of this, that's one thing. But another one says, I don't know how it happened. I just went in the house and come back and it was on fire. You know, that's usually what daddies have to deal with. But he says, Father, if the son or the child is saying, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee and am not worthy to be called thy son, the same in kind, but infinitely more exquisite, does God feel when the penitent falls at his feet and implores his mercy through Christ crucified? When you come and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I am sorry for my sins and my transgressions. And God, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. I want us to realize how God is moved towards that. He pitieth mankind. And he wants the best for you. He wants you to rise above that degradation and that accusation and the torment of the sins of the past. Another song that went to the top of the charts for another music artist goes something like this. I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told that story just like I'd rehearsed and then stood there on those trembling knees and waited for the worst. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies don't love their children every now and then. It's love without end. Amen. It's love without end. Did you know God loves us even when we go astray? And he's not going to rope us and drag us back. He may put things in our path that cause us to realize where we're at and how far away we've strayed. But when we turn and say, Father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I just like to be a servant. I just like to be under the umbrella of your protection. I just like to be able to hold on to your finger again. I'd like to have that stability and that assurance. You know, he pities us when we come back like that and has mercy. I want us to get the picture of God being a loving and merciful Heavenly Father. I'd like to go maybe to Isaiah, the 59th chapter. It says, behold, the first verse here, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Lord's hand is not shortened. His ability to deliver us today is just like it was in Jesus' time here. It's powerful just like it was in the days of Isaiah that wrote these words. And it'll work for us today. Remember, his thoughts towards us are good and not evil. And he has the best in mind for us. I'd like for us to turn now over in the New Testament to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, or the 12th chapter, and notice verse 5. He says, and ye have forgotten, this chapter starts out challenging us to lay aside the things that would hinder us and run with patience the race that's set before us. In verse 5 he says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Have you ever been rebuked by the Lord? I told you earlier that I was just going to tell you bluntly, if you feel like God don't love you, that you're wrong. I remember one time we was driving down the road, and I was pretty young. My dad and I got into discussion, and I began to argue with my dad, and this went on for a while, and I wasn't listening to what he said. I wasn't accepting what he said, and he was driving, and I remember after a while, he said, "You can believe what you want to, but you're wrong." And that was the end of the discussion. And I come to find out that he was right. You know, there's something about dealing with daddy hands that's going to bring us up short sometimes. And when God is dealing with us, we're going to find that sometimes it feels just like we run into a brick wall. And he says, "You're not going any farther. I won't let you there. I'm not going to tell you the answer right now." And he says, "For consider..." I stopped in the wrong place. He said, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Everyone that comes to him and becomes an adopted child of God, and that's all any of us are. I have no biological ancestry that puts me in lineage to be a Christian. I'm adopted just like you are. I'm been accepted, I believe, by the grace of God into his family, into the fold. He said, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons." As with sons. He started out by saying, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation." You know where this come from? It come from Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. And he said there, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." You know, this admonition has been around for many, many generations. And I believe with all of my heart that God pities everyone that comes up short. And he's willing to be merciful. You come home with a shiner on your eye, the Lord is going to tell you, a father don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. You know what the word amen many times signifies? Truth. This is true. God loves you. Accept it and build on that. Don't let the enemy put the thoughts of "he don't love me anymore" in your mind. You have to start by realizing God does love me. And when I feel chastened, remember, he's dealing with me with daddy hands. He's trying to guide me, and he's trying to instruct me. And, you know, our Heavenly Father allows trials to come our way, test us. Trials can really test us, can't they? But he's there to lead us through them and help us with them. You know, as I've got older and my children have got older, there's things that they have made decisions on that I thought it was a bad decision. And a lot of times I was right. But I have to let them make that decision. And when it turns out not so good, I have to be there be willing to work with them and maybe help them a little bit if I can. Sometimes it's out of my league, but you know, God's going to let you make a bad decision. And I want us to take something home with us from this part of our discussion. You know, when trials come, He'll work with us and inspire us and direct us in a direction we should go and give us the strength for the task. He'll reinforce us. But many times, I want you to remember this, many times we confuse trials with consequences. Many times we confuse trials with consequences. A trial is something that opposes right or godly decisions. A trial is when an easier way is presented that would cause us to deny our Savior, at least partially. That's a trial. A consequence is a payment for a poor decision of the past. A consequence is a payment for a poor decision of the past. A consequence can be painful and feel very much like a trial, but in reality, it's just a payment for something in the past. And consequences aren't just the result of sin. Consequences sometimes happen because we chose a path that just has consequences to go with it. So I want us to keep those things in mind and remember daddy hands. What do? They're strength to us. There'll be a hand in our back. There'll be something that'll give us some guidance, some instruction. Daddy hands has compassion. They'll never hit you when you're down. But they might paddle you when you choose to go the wrong way. They'll never push you down. They'll lift you up. But when you go astray, you may feel like you've run right into something like a rock wall and you can't get around it. Daddy Hands is there to guide us and bring the very best out of each one of us. He wants us to prosper in our soul. He wants us to grow. He wants us to have the capability to stand on your own two feet, not without the grace of God. Please understand me. But He wants you to have strength. He wants you to have courage. He wants you to know that you're really saved. You know, I've told you many times, I'll repeat it again. Brother Sam has told us you can have a no-so salvation. And I believe you can. I believe you can have that confidence. I believe you can have that assurance that Father loves me and He approves of me. And He's going to be with me no matter what might face me. And I want us to remember, please don't feel like you're overwhelmed with trials when it's really consequences. And when it's consequences, you know, we can take those to the Lord too. That's where the pity of the Father comes in many times. And He'll help us with deal with those consequences. He'll give us some direction of how to mitigate them or minimize their effect on us. But they're still just consequences. If I make a decision to buy something I can't afford, it's not a trial that I have to make payments. I can go obligate. If you pay your bills, you're always going to get somebody wanting you to spend more money in the mail or something. You get something, they want to extend your credit line or something. And you know, I could go max out my credit line, and guess what? I'd be obligated to pay payments, and that's consequences. Wouldn't necessarily be sin per se. But I could line myself up with enough payments that I could barely afford to eat. And that's consequences. That's not a trial. A trial is that something that confronts me in my decision to live for God and be true to my convictions before Him. You pray for me. I want to be in a place that God's daddy hands is an asset to me. And I want Him to be able to bring about the very best in my life.